بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his followers from whatever he feared for them. We have been for a while speaking about one of the great Muslim rulers. I mean our master Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu. We said that he became the ruler, the caliph, after Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik had arranged for people to pay allegiance to him, although his name was written in a record. He did not know about it until after Sulaiman died and the record was open, and then his name was there. Then he became the caliph. People paid allegiance to him. They accepted him, as we're going to say in a while. And he became the rightful caliph for the Muslims. And this happened in the year 99 Hijri. We said that he, in a short time, spread justice. And he always listened to the complaints of people. He returned people's rights to them. He took the money from the people who took it unjustly as much as he could, especially from his own relatives, from these people who are known to be Umayyads, belong to that dynasty of Umayyads. We mentioned certain things about him in the past. Inshallah, this is our third session about this great man. It is narrated that Hisham, the son of Abdul Malik, Hisham is the son of Abdul Malik. We said Abdul Malik ibn Marwan had many sons, and many of them became caliphs. Sulaiman was the one before Hisham, or before Umar. So when Umar became the caliph, Hisham of course wanted to be the caliph instead, but he had to pay allegiance to him, or else he would have been killed by the one in charge. So when Umar became caliph, and he was taking money from his rich relatives that they took unjustly, giving it to its own rightful owners, these people did not like what Umar was doing. So one of the instances where they expressed their dismay at his disposition of affairs is they sent this Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, and this man became caliph after Umar died. So he came and he said, "O commander of believers, I'm the envoy of your people to you." Means your family sent me to talk to you about what they feel, what they think things should go, how they should go. So he said, "I'm going to represent what they want you to do." He said, "They tell you that as for the matters that now come up, the new things that come up during your rulership, you do whatever you want to do about them." So the present problems, the future problems, these things, do whatever you think you want to do about them. But leave out the things that have been settled before you. Whatever has been settled by the rulers before you, don't touch them. Keep them running the way they were running before. So Umar, radiyallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, radiyallahu anhu, said to Hisham, he said, if two people came to you with two documents, and each in his own document tells you, ruler X gave me this part of land, this land space, which of the two documents or records do you go through, do you execute, do you go by? If someone told you Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the first ruler in the Umayyads dynasty, he said, look, this is document from Muawiyah giving me this land. And then a person, another person brought a document, says, but Abdul Malik gave me this land. It's the same land, two different rulers. So there is a conflict. Which of the two documents would you follow? Then Hisham said, I'll follow the older one. I'll follow the older one, the one who came first of the two documents. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, then I found that the book of Allah is older than what these rulers came with. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the book of Allah, Al-Quran, about 100 years ago, before Muawiyah showed up and before Abdul Malik showed up. So I'm going to follow the older book, the older document, the book of Allah. And that's what I'm doing. So whatever the book of Allah tells me, this older document tells me, I'm going to follow. So this man, of course, had nothing to say, anything. So I'm going to follow this older document for matters that were before I came and the matters that come in the future. This is my document that I, you know, follow. One time, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz saw a big jewel, big gem, with his wife that her father before her, before had given her. So her father gave her this big gem that, you know, is very expensive. He gave it to Fatima, his daughter, who is the wife of Umar, before Umar became the caliph. So that's hers from her father. So Umar, when he became the caliph, he told her, you have a choice. Either you take this jewel and you turn it, means to the treasury, the Muslim treasury, or could you allow me to divorce you? He was so polite with her. He said, you have two choices. Either you choose the jewel or you choose me. Either you return this jewel to the treasury and we stay husband and wife, or you choose the jewel, you want to keep it, but then may I divorce you? So she said, I hate that you and I separate. No, I'm not going to choose the jewel. I'll choose you above this jewel and multiple jewels like it. So then she took the jewel was taken out and was put in the treasury, the Muslim treasury. Then when Umar, her husband, died, her brother Yazid became the Khalifa, according to that record. So he told her, sister, if you like, I'll give you that jewel back to you. She said, no, if I have given that jewel away out of my own choice because I love my husband, I'm not going to take it back after his death. Doesn't seem right. So that's how she was. One day, Umar radiallahu anhu, and remember when I say Umar, it is Ibn Abd al-Aziz in this context, unless I say Ibn al-Khattab. So Umar radiallahu anhu one time sent one of his servants to cook a piece of meat. So this person came back very quickly. He told them, you came back very quickly. Where did you cook this meat? He said, I cooked it in the public kitchen. The kitchen that where all the Muslims are allowed to use. It's like the public kitchen. It's not a private kitchen, not his own kitchen. He told him, Subhanallah. He said, you eat the meat. I'm not going to eat it. One time, he also asked his servant to heat up some water for him. So he took a container and he heated up the water also in the public kitchen. So Umar said, okay, here's a dirham. You go and buy log with it and you put the log in the logs of the kitchen so that it will be used for cooking. So he's just replacing the amount that was taken for heating up his water. So how many people would do that when they become rulers? They abuse the public money. They go there with a plan that when I become a ruler, I'm going to do this and that, take that money, give it to my family, give it to my those who voted for me, and so on. They have a plan how to abuse the public money. During his time, there was mail service. And the mail service is, of course, they use animals, camels or horses. So they use animals to carry the mail on it. So there were certain main areas where there will be some animals resting there when some messages need to be carried between those different areas and the caliph, which is the, you know, the head of the state, then a horse would carry it, from Egypt, for example, to Baghdad, for example, and then from Baghdad, for example, to Syria, Damascus. So the animals would have some stations where they rest and they would be, you know, replaced with fresh animals. So one time, Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to one of his rulers. He told him, please buy me some type of honey. Honey that would be in his area, not in Umar's area. So the honey came. Umar asked, how did this honey, was the honey carried to me? They told him it was carried on the male animals, the animals that delivered the mail of the government. He said, Subhanallah. He sold the honey. He got the money. He put it in the Muslim treasury. And then he wrote that man back, his ruler. He said, Subhanallah, afsatta alayna asalak. He said, you deprived us of your honey. The way you did it, I couldn't use the honey that I requested. So these people like Umar ibn al-Khattab and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and all these very pious people, they know that there is a day of judgment, and on the day of judgment they will be asked, what did they do with the public money, the money that belongs to the Muslims at large? So they fear that they would have done something wrong with it. They don't want to go to hellfire. That's why they monitor themselves. They do things that would save them from falling into hellfire. One of which is not to use the public money, means the Muslims' money, in that which they have no right to use for their own personal usage. And Umar, just like many other pious people, Zahid people, they do not get attached to these worldly things. Remember, we told you that Umar radiallahu anhu became the ruler because he was named by the previous ruler to be the following ruler. So when they mentioned his name and he sat at the minbar addressing the people, they told him, well, you became the ruler because Sulaiman named you. It means we did not give you bay'ah, we didn't pay allegiance to you. We paid allegiance to you before we knew your name. So you became the ruler not through the bay'ah, because the previous ruler put you in your place. He told them, I, by Allah, swear by Allah, I did not ask for this position, not secretly and not openly. If you don't want me to be your ruler, then I, you know, what's the word? Resign. They said, no, we don't want you to resign. Because he already had been the governor in Al-Madinah. His reputation of being a fair ruler, a pious ruler, a great scholar, already known about him. They said no, so they started paying allegiance to him, and then he became the just or the rightful Khalifa. One time, Umar radiallahu anhu opened a message, a letter, that was directed to the caliph before him, Sulaiman. And it seems that it was still had the seal, so Sulaiman had not gotten to it, did not open it and read it. So he forced, of course, since it is his job to carry out the affairs of the Muslims, so this has come from another area, it may carry something that he has to pay attention to. So he opened it, and he found that it's coming from a man called Abu Bakr ibn Amr ibn Hazm. And this man was, his father was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His grandfather was a companion of the Prophet. His father also sought some companions. So he is one of At-Tabi'een, one of the students of the companions. And he was a judge, a great scholar. And Umar radiallahu anhu had assigned him as the judge and the governor of Al-Madinah. So Umar knows about him. He knows how scholarly he was. Remember when he was in Al-Madinah, became the governor of Al-Madinah, what did he do? The first thing he did, he called the top scholars of Al-Madinah, the 10 top scholars, and he told them, you know, I summoned you so that you advise me. If you see something wrong about what I do, you correct me. If there is something I don't pay attention to, you draw my attention to. And that's why they were happy, those scholars, that this is the way to do it. Because if you are ruling by Islam, then you need the opinion and the advice of those who are scholarly, not, you know, just anyone. So Umar knew this man. So he read his book, means his letter. And one of the things that this man had asked in the letter, so Umar said, I read your letter to Sulaiman. I was inflicted with reading your letter because he didn't open it. So you wrote asking Sulaiman, the previous ruler, to give you a ration of candles, of wax for candles. And just like he used to give other governors of different areas, you know, their ration of candles. And you say that you want to use those candles in your walk at night from your house to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in your night trips. And you mentioned that whatever candles you had, whatever wax you had, has run out. That's what you mentioned in your letter. So he is telling him that I really read your letter. He's telling him, he wrote to him, you wrote that you ran out of, you know, candles, that you want these candles, you know, rationed to you just like other governors were given. You want to use it for, you know, your night trips and so on. So he was telling him that I read every word you wrote. Because he's writing exactly, you wrote this, you wrote this, you wrote this. Now, his answer now, his response. He says, how many times did I see you in Al-Madinah going to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam without any light? You just go in the pitch, you know, dark nights to the masjid of the Prophet without needing any light. You were better at that time than you are now. Your situation is better was better at that time than your situation now. It means before you were going through the dark without any problem. Now because you're the governor, you're asking the Muslim treasury to pay the cost or the expenses for your trips. You used to be better. Now you are asking from the money of the Muslims to accommodate your things. So he told him something. And he said, wassalamu alayk. And he greeted him. It means that I'm not going to give it to you. Also, in another letter, he, also the same man, had written in also that he was asking for some stationery, you know, pens and paper and so on, that because he's a governor, he has to have correspondence for different things, so he needed stationery. So he told him, so you mentioned that the rulers before you or like you are given certain amount of stationery and then you want just like they do. He told him, okay, I want you to sharpen your pens, pencil or pen. Of course they used to, what, the quills. Okay, so he said, sharpen your pen and means make your handwriting is thin. Okay, so that you have more to write. And he said, make your lines closer to each other. And write all of your needs in one letter. Not that you want one thing, you write one letter. Then you want another thing, then a new paper and write another. A third one, a third paper. You think about all what you need and you put them in one message, in one letter. So he was teaching him how to be economical, how to save the money of the Muslims. He told him, I hate to take out of the treasury of the money of the Muslims and spend it in something they do not benefit from. And in another letter, he told him, this man had written, telling Umar, that we have these elderly in Al-Madina, because he was the governor of Al-Madina, this Abu Bakr. He said, these people have grown up, became elderly, they are from Al-Ansar, so they are of high status. So, but the money that is given to them is not commensurate, does not fit their status. So they used to be given more by the rulers before you. Now they are given less. So you need, if you want to give them something that is more than what you're giving them. So he also told him that the people's status is not by worldly, you know, social position. The status of a person is the status on the Day of Judgment. The status that Allah set for people, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, means the most, the highest in rank among you are the one who are the most pious. So the piety is the criterion for making people more honorable, not the money they're giving to them. That does not change their status. And he said, you write me also that those Banu Adi, who are uncles of the Prophet, because his mother from that tribe. So the uncles of the Prophet, their masjid got destroyed. And you're telling me that I should rebuild it for them. So he said, well, you suggest that to me, and I was hoping that I would die without building any building, without having to participate in erecting any structure. But since you said that, then do build their masjid for them. But build it with a certain type of bricks. It is like clay. You know how the huts in the African countries, they put some straw with it to make it. He said, make their bricks from this clay that is mixed with straw. And make it as much as they need. Don't make it too big of a building. And he said, wassalamu alaikum. So you could see that in his response to this man, who is scholarly, who is a good man, who is a judge. But he was asking for certain things. And Umar radiallahu anhu is going to respond by taking money out of the Muslim treasury. So he doesn't want to just take the money out haphazardly at random just because somebody asked for it. So he wanted to make sure that the money that he, you know, disposes, that he orders, get out to other areas, that it was paid in the right place. So he was advising this governor of Al-Madina what to do concerning the candles, concerning the masjid that he wants it to be built, concerning the status of these people, and concerning writing, you know, the stationery, that you have to be frugal about it. Do people do that in offices? You see them printing papers and Xeroxing papers, and I see it with my eyes in the workplace. There are sometimes two lines and then that's it, one paper, ink. SubhanAllah. One time, Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, was sitting in one place and he wanted to leave it and take a nap, what you call siesta, which is a sunnah, it's qaylula in Arabic. The sunnah is to, before al-dhuhr time comes in, to have a short nap. And the purpose of this nap is not just to be lazy. The purpose of this nap is to help the person wake up at night and pray tahajjud. This is the purpose of this qaylula. And it's sunnah to do it with that purpose. So Umar wanted to leave the area. He was sitting with people. Now he wanted to take his nap that will help him stay up at night. So when he stood up, a man came quickly towards him, rushed towards him. And he had carried a scroll. You know how they put letters in a hard cover. And he wanted to give it to Umar. But by the way he rushed towards him, the people around Umar thought that he's going to harm him. He wants to attack him and harm him. So they wanted to prevent him. But this man wanted to get that scroll to Umar. So he threw it before people held him. So Umar heard, he turned around, it came into his face. And the blood started falling off his forehead. So Umar radiallahu anhu went down and he looked at the scroll. He knew that there is a message inside. And this man did that. It means must be important. So he just opened the scroll. He read. He saw what the man wanted. And he gave him what he asked for. And then the man left. Nobody harmed him. So you could see Umar, he's the head of the state. I mean, a state that was Egypt, North Africa, you know, West Africa, to Morocco, to China, East. He was the ruler of all this state. And this man hurts him, of course, unintentionally. He did not pay attention to his bleeding. He focused on what's important. His priority was what? To take care of his business, the business of this man. This man had a need, and he fulfilled it for him. And he used to say that certain thing that, if it was up to me, I would just leave all of that. It means I would not stay as a caliph. But because he became the caliph, now he has responsibility. He cannot just leave the office empty, because he has to run, his obligation is to run the affairs of the Muslims. Out of his detachment of these worldly things, sometimes his food would be, his meal would be boiled garlic, some olive oil with salt. This is his meal. And remember when the slave complained to the wife of Umar, he told her, every day you give me lentils. She told him, this is the food of your master, of the commander of the believers. So, subhanAllah, if Umar wanted at that time with all this power that he had, he would have immersed himself in many of the desires of this life. Women, money, and other things that people usually do when they have power. One of the things that Umar radiallahu anhu said, the one who gets death closer to his heart would find what he has between his hands plenty. The one who makes heart, death close to his heart means he remembers it all the times. Then whatever he has in his hands would become plenty in his heart, in his eyes. He would not say, I need more, because he knows he's dying, and whatever is after death is what counts. So he would not ask for more mundane things. And it was known about Umar that when he remembered death, when death is mentioned, he would shiver, he would tremble, and he would, you know, move like a bird that was slaughtered. And he would cry until his tears wet his beard. One time, he became the owner of a female slave who was not an Arab. So she did not know how to speak Arabic. So she told people around Umar, she said, I see people happy, but I don't see this man happy. He doesn't laugh all the time. He's always serious. So he didn't understand what she said. So he asked them, what did she say? They translated to him. They told him, she said that everybody is happy but not you. So he told her, so it means they're going to translate to her. He told her, the happiness is for the one who is safe in the hereafter. The happiness in this life is not the happiness that counts. The happiness that is real is the happiness on the Day of Judgment, when a person is safe from the punishment of Allah. One day, remember, the Khalifa is the one who leads Al-Jumu'ah. He's the Imam of Al-Jumu'ah in his area. In other areas, the governor of the area is the one who is the Imam of Al-Jumu'ah and Al-Eid also. So, one time, when Jumu'ah was due, Umar radiallahu anhu was late, unusually late. Usually he comes on time. So when he came, people said, you are late. He said, well, my servant went to get me the clothes and he got late. So some of the people knew what it meant. It means that he did not have but that outfit. So he was waiting for the servant to wash the clothes, his outfit, waiting for it to dry, and then come to Jumu'ah in that one outfit. So people understood that. Umar did not mean to say anything, he was just stating a fact. Then he understood, he paid attention that, oh, people now know that I have one outfit, and that wasn't his, you know, goal. So he said, well, you, in the past, you would see me in Al-Madina when I'm walking, and I'm worried that the money I have is not enough for my clothes. It means I keep on buying clothes and the money is not enough for my clothes. But those days went away. Just like, he's just redirecting his statement. So he didn't want to emphasize that point. One day they assessed his clothes, means looked at the clothes that he owns. It was a qamis, a rida, which means the one that you put over the clock. His pants, his imama, the turban, the qalansuwa, just like this, kufi as they say, and his shoes. So they put them all together, they assessed their value. They came to be a 12 silver dirham. It's like, maybe $10. This is the head of a state that from Northwest Africa, from Morocco to China. Before he became a caliph, during the time of luxury, and all of his money was halal. He wasn't taking money like his relatives unjustly from people. His money was halal. His father was a good man, and he raised him in piety. His uncle was Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab was his uncle. So, when his father was the governor of Egypt, he sent after his wife from Al-Madinah. He said, come with my child to Egypt so that, you know, we'll be together. So when she was about to go, Abdullah ibn Umar said, no, keep Umar here. He is the child who's going to remind us of you. He looks like you. So he kept him with him. And when the wife went and she told him that Umar, Abdullah wanted to keep Umar there, he was very happy because now he is in the care of a man who will teach him the religion. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, one of the people he learned from was Anas, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who lived for a long time until he was 100 years old. And remember, he came as a child, 10 years old, he served the Prophet 10 years, that's 20. Okay, so he lived until he was 100. So Umar learned from him. That's why some of the scholars, when they tell you, we haven't seen a person whose prayer is closer, similar to the prayer of the Prophet, than Umar. Because he learned from Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab. So he learned from, Anas, who served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who saw the Prophet praying, and he was praying exactly like the Prophet. We'll talk about more of this later, inshallah. But I just wanted to know that this man was a mujtahid, a scholar. He was zahid, he was pious, he was fair, he was a ruler. So he wasn't just like any head of state. He was one of those rightly guided caliphs. It was Abu Bakr, Umar, Ibn Khattab, Uthman, Ali, Al-Hasan. And the sixth one is this Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Those were the six rightly guided caliphs. There were good caliphs in between, but not as those six. Not as good as those six. Radiallahu anhu. So before he became a caliph, during the days when he was this young man living luxuriously, but in halal, as we said, he asked a person to sew him 2 pieces of clothing. You know, to have the qamis and the pants. So the man chose for him good material, very soft material. And he sent it to be sewn by a famous, you know, tailor in Al-Basra. Like he's in Al-Madinah and he sent to be sewn in Iraq. So he was trying to give him the best material quality and the best sewing. So when he brought them, Umar looked at these and he touched them and he said, how good your, you know, clothes are, the clothes that you brought to me. But they're not soft enough. And they were like very soft, the softest thing you can have in this. After he became caliph, he asked the same man to sew him an outfit. So the man understood now he's a caliph. So he doesn't want them, he's a good man, he doesn't want them very soft. So he chose some rough material for him. And he gave it to him. He touched them. He said, these are good clothing, but they're too soft. So the man said, I was when he told me the first time they were too soft, too, you know, rough. And I was at the second time when he told me they are too soft. The same man, 2 different attitudes, because the man's heart changed. Even the way that Umar radiallahu anhu used to walk, he was known by his walk. People would know this is Umar, the way he, you know, walked in a nice way. So when he became a caliph, he changed it. He changed the way he walked. He just walked in a humble way. And for people to do that, it means there's a change in the heart. Because when you walk, sometimes you don't pay attention how you walk. Sometimes people do it on purpose. They walk in a certain way. But normally, people walk without paying attention. Did I put my right foot first or my left foot first? Did I move my hip more or less? They don't. But this man, in order, he remembered how he used to walk. He didn't like it, Now, after he became a caliph, he wanted to walk in a very humble way. So the heart has changed. The heart became more attached to the other life, the next life, not this life. One time a man came to him, to ask him about something, and he saw that Umar, the caliph, was sitting with a man, a writer, scribe, and the man was writing, Umar was dictating to him things, and there was a candle, of course, lit to be able to see what was written. When the man finished writing and then went, Umar put out the light, put out the candle. And then he ordered for a lantern to be brought, his own private lantern, to be lit for him. This is his house lantern. So and he put it out, put it on. So the man said, I got close to him to talk to him about my need, my affair. So I saw him wearing a qamis that has a patch from the back that fills between his shoulders. So the patch was as wide as his shoulders were. So he said, that's how I saw his clothes like that. He said he looked at my situation and he fulfilled my need. So you could see this Umar, he did not want to use the public candles, the money of the Muslims, for his own, private things. He just turned it off and he put his own private lantern. When he was about to die, he got sick for a while. So during that period of time, people would visit him. One of the times, his cousin, Maslama, the son of Abdul Malik, we mentioned him many times before, he was a good Muslim. He was a commander. He opened many lands, if you remember, in our previous classes. And he is his brother-in-law. He's the brother of his wife. So he came in and he said, O commander of believer, you have weaned the mouth of your children from this money. It means you have not given them anything of that money that usually rulers give to their own children. So you left them without anything, needy. So maybe if you want, you can make a will that they would be taken care of by someone like me or someone else that you trust. So Umar was sick. He said, help me sit up. So he sat up. He told him, you say that I did not fill the mouth of my children from this money? Yes, I did not give them that which is not their right to take. And also, I did not deprive them of something they deserved. Means they are my children. Whatever my obligation to maintain them, I did it, the maintenance. But I did not prevent them from what is their right, and I did not give them that which is not their right to take. Now, as for you saying that I should give them, put them in care of you or someone like you from my family, Allah is my protector. Allah is the one who takes care of my business. Allah is the one who takes care of the righteous people. These children of mine are one of two men. Means each one of them is either this or that. They are one of two men. Either a man who fears Allah, and then Allah will find solutions for his situations, his needs, or a man who wants to commit sins. And I'm not going to help them to commit sins. Means I'm not going to leave money for them to use in committing sins. I'm not going to do that. So if they are pious, Allah will take care of them. Because Allah said in Al-Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The one who fears Allah, then Allah will find solution for his needs, and he will give him, provide for him, from ways that he doesn't, expect. So Allah will take care of them. But if they are sinful, they are immersed in sin, I'm not going to give them money to help them commit more sins. So he said, then he sent after his children. And he had about, more than 10 boys. And he looked at them and they looked needy. He looked at them and he cried. He said, yes, I did not leave a lot for you. But then he said, no, I did leave a lot for you. I left you in a good condition. You should know, my boys, that I have not left a person, whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim, but would speak good of your father, that I have done good for him. I have not done any injustice to any person, whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim. If you go to any person, whether a Muslim or non-Muslim, you will see that they will speak good of your father. So I left you a good reputation. So he said, I had two choices, my children. Either that you become rich and your father goes into hellfire, or you are poor and your father goes into paradise. I had these two choices. And it was more preferred to me that you are poor and I go into paradise. He said then, leave the area, may Allah protect you. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So inshallah we'll continue talking more about this man, al-Imam, the Caliph Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu. Barakallahu fi. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم